last night I touched on a lot of stuff. Touched.
Smashed.
What?
Smashed might be a better word.
Smashed on a lot of stuff. But it struck me that, I don't even know if we have any other group, but I know we have it in here. We haven't talked about, with any clarity, about the idolatry in the scriptures that's connected with the idols of wood, of hay, and of stubble. And so, the assumption normally on wood, hay, and stubble is those are the idols that they can't stand anything. I mean, we're talking really dumb idols. These are the idols that are connected, that anyone can look at and see their stupidity. Now, a lot of these things are, we're going to go through a bunch in the scriptures, but a lot of the idols of wood, hay, and stubble are the idols of Edom. They're the idols of the flesh that you've purposely constructed. And they are things like, you know, appearance, intelligence, money. They're like the first grade stuff in spiritual phenomena. You know, as I said, money, the way in our economy, in the ancient economy, money probably wouldn't have been wood, hay, and stubble, because there at least was backed by, you know, money was the silver or the gold. Now our money is made of wood. I mean, so that's the idea. And I want to talk about this in general terms for tonight and not put anybody in a hot seat. And I don't know why I don't want to put anybody in a hot seat tonight. Maybe it's because I just am tired of it. But I want us to look at some scriptures. Let's go first to 1 Corinthians 3.
You said that these are just like the pettier things. Is there any way that you decide if this is wood, hay, or stubble, or if it's something else?
Well, the wood, hay, and stubble ones are the ones that are conscious. They're ones that you have, that they are. In the ancient times, wood, hay, and stubble idols were like fertility dolls. And
yeah. So it's like an appearance. You know about it because you want to make your appearance.
Yeah.
It's conscious.
Yeah, it's a conscious thing. And it's it may have other factors relating to it, but we're going to go into them more here. Does anybody have anything else? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. Well, in verse 10, he's talking about being co-laborers. And then he said in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, that's kind of an important predicate that I want you all to understand. The idea about these things, the wood, hay, stubble, the precious stones, the gold, the silver, those idols, they're not, you know, and I don't want to sound religious here, but they're not things that affect salvation. They're not something that's going to cause you to be inside or outside the camp. You understand that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are right now in a position that you still have idols, But you've seen and you've declared to the Father, I don't want to have idols. And in 5 seconds from now, the end came. That doesn't mean you're outside the camp. Okay? Now, I don't know if we... Something's wrong. What's going on? Somebody's not at rest or...
I'm not, but I can't identify. I think it has something to do with the lead. I was waiting for you to look over here, as a matter of fact. Okay, well, let's go. Does that mean it's true and it's not? It's just my head bothering me. I'm serious.
Right. Yeah, true, you know.
Let's talk about this. Do any of you have any doubt that your function is to present yourself a living sacrifice? I mean, the idea that you've all tested, you've gone through life testing stuff, and nothing worked, right? If it worked, you wouldn't be here. You come to a point and you say, all right, God, here I am. I present myself to you a living sacrifice, if you're real. I don't even know if you're real yet. But just in case there's a God, here I am, because nothing else is worthy of me presenting myself to. Does that compute? Once you've said, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, the sacrifice never chooses its place of sacrifice.
Amen.
And the negative feelings, the testings that may occur at the point of sacrifice is the purpose of time and space. If you raise yourself and leave from the place of sacrifice for any reason, you can't transfer your letter. If you're going to be in a position where you can transfer your letter, there's 50,000 churches you can go join. We are of those who believe, who are of like precious faith, who have said, Father, I present myself to you without exception, without condition, holding no thing in reserve. Do with me as you will. I can only be honest in that position. Now, in that position, there's going to be fire, there's going to be heartache, there's going to be suffering, but the suffering of that present moment isn't worthy to be compared with the joy that shall be revealed afterward. There are 10,000 reasons to leave. There is one reason to stay. If she went from here to another body, I would say, praise God. If she leaves from here to go soothe herself seeking in the name of God, I say she's outside the camp, and from my standpoint, she's dead. And I'd say the same about any one of you. I said it about Butch when he left. I said it about Rick when he left. And I'd say it about any one of you tonight. Now that's where the net cutting comes in. I'm not going to assuage, or however you say that word, the flesh, and say, oh, I'm just glad she's doing her thing. I'm not glad she's doing her thing. She's lost in Edom. She's lost in the flesh. If there is some other place to go, I'll quit. I'll go there. Don't be confused, because if you buy her bullshit, you will be in an alliance with her, and you will be tied as a cart rope to her idolatry, and it'll permit everything that you have been, every battle that has been overtaken thus far will resurrect itself and reclaim the land. Do you understand? I spent a lifetime pushing everything that I knew in the universe to the limit. And every time I pushed, the harder I pushed, the longer I pushed, the stronger I pushed, I found boredom, primarily boredom. And I said, okay, I'll try something different. I'll try God for a while. I've tried yoga. I've tried every other form of spiritual gymnastics. I'll try God for a while. So I said, God, I give myself to you, a living sacrifice. The one time, the moment I did that, there was one single issue that took place that was a grace. At that instant of time, I knew that from that moment forward, I could never lean on my own arm of understanding. That meant I could never once pick myself up and leave. I was in a position that was the weirdest thing you've ever seen. There were 900 believers at a particular place over here in West Dallas, near Love Field, that were part and parcel of something called Berean Fellowship International. It was a Berean Foundation and a Berean Fellowship. They had hired me as a public relations consultant for them to raise the money to get the FCC license and do the access survey for the Federal Communications Commission to start a new television station. 17 days later, after becoming a believer, I was on television, as you all know. But in the process of this, that was the place. I said, Father, here I am. Now it cost me everything. Everything. And slowly but surely, an interesting thing happened. Everyone left that place. This was a big, big corporate environment with buildings all over the place and people running around and cafeterias and dormitories and houses. It was a big thing. 900 people. Television station, radio station, dormitories, Bible college, kindergarten, high school, grade school, daycare center. Families living, cafeterias, everybody working together, church twice a day. Slowly but surely, I was the only one left in that whole place. Everybody left. Everybody. And I could not lean on my own, I could not say, okay, this must mean I'm in the wrong place. I've got to find someplace else. I stayed. No matter what anything looked like. I stayed living at $15 a week, sleeping on the floor of an abandoned building. With no heat, no air conditioning, no lights. I stayed. Because I knew that once I'd said, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, I could never get up and lean on my own arm of understanding. I couldn't, under any circumstances, take my life back. Now, there was a group of people who we had been involved with, had been having meetings about new ways. We were all disgusted with modern radio and television. So there was a group of people that we were talking with to start a new thing. They came to me while I was sleeping in the office in a nothing place, and we started Trinity Foundation. And everything was great for a while, and then I saw I was just hustling in the name of God. Not for me, but for God. And so I said, we're going to quit that. What happened? Every one of the board of directors quit. My secretary quit. I had 12 employees. All of them quit. The only two that were left were Gary and John Rutledge. So I said, okay, I don't know what to do. I can't figure it out. I can't sit here and figure it out. I've just got to rest. So slowly but surely, it became apparent that I had to teach. I resisted. We'd hire in guest teachers to come and speak. Because I knew what it cost. I intuited that once I began to open my mouth, then it would be even worse. But every guest, all of J.W. Lumen come down from Denton to teach. John Garlock would come over from, you know, didn't work. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. Except that I knew that you could never, once you'd be said, Father, I'm yours, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, that I could never again resurrect myself. I could do nothing to protect myself, either spiritually or from my soul or from my flesh. Now, the result of knowing that is the body. And it's something that I can talk about God's faithfulness, not as a theory, but the fact is that my life has depended on it in innumerable times, including being held hostage. I cannot excuse, I cannot have any compassion for anyone that leaves. I'll lay my life down for you. I'll give you everything I own. I'll raise money for you. I'll help you do anything you want. I don't care. If you think you need to get a job in the world, if you think you need to do this, this, or this, I'll do everything in the world for you. And so will everybody else here. But once you say, I leave, where are you going to go? If you know a place to go where the same message of the cross is preached, then I'll go too. But if you're going to satisfy as an escape your perceived sense of suffering for a moment because of your internal idolatry, then as far as I'm concerned, you're dead. You don't even exist in memory any longer. Now, is that hard? Yeah. But that ruthlessness of God is so total. And if you don't believe it, read the Old Testament. Once you've said, Father, I present myself to you a living sacrifice, the moment you take up the right to protect yourself, and nobody's here telling you what to do in terms of, well, you should do this, this, or this. I don't care what you do. This simply is the environment, the place in which the seed falls into the ground and dies. If it doesn't, it'll abide alone. And the aloneness of that seed is endemic to human nature. And the problem is, once you've heard and tasted the word of life, and you try to go alone out in the world as that seed to satisfy the desires and lusts of your own flesh and your own self-seeking, I don't care if you're saying, oh, I'm just trying to do it, I'm just trying to find God. You are helpless. I've seen it too many times. There is nothing new in flesh. There's only one deception in the entire world. Only one. And that deception is, by which he has deceived the whole world, is that you or you or you or you are in a position separate from the source of life. That you are separate from that source. And therefore, if you're separate from the source, then you've got to do something to get to the source. That's the deception that I will always attack. Oh, I need to be alone to get to the source. That is pure, unadulterated bullshit. Oh, I need to spend time by myself seeking the face of God. The face of God is within you. The moment you need to think that you need to do, that you think you need to do something, then that deception is endemic to the process. You're in a double bind, double blind. Do you understand? And so when you make alliances with someone else's idolatry, then what you have done is you have resurrected an idol that places you and the Father separate. And in that separation, the whole land will be given back. He doesn't take back just an inch. He takes it back all at once. And all of a sudden, and every time, in one way or another, you will blame the person that is most visible. You will never blame yourself. And it doesn't matter now whether it's me or John Bloom, John Bloom is just going through this now. He lost 4 people from his group. Or whether it's Larry or Doug or anyone else. The moment you are the one that is, you know, it says, not many of you should be teachers because in many things you will offend everyone. But our role is to, in meekness, teach those that oppose themselves. Now you may say, well, Holy's not meek.
Well,
that's not your business. The word meek, by the way, means abandoned. It means the strength, it's that Clydesdale horse, the strength of the greatest power, most powerful animal in training under harness. With only God, and that's with the bridle. But I don't want you all to make alliances. That's what last night's talk was about. The drunkenness caused the alliances to be revealed. Do you think there's something you can do to get back to the source of life? That's called dispensational theology. It's called making the cross of Christ of none effect. I can't force anybody to do anything. I don't want to. I just want you to see deception. Anybody else? Are you okay? You okay? You're not awake.
I went back to work and I haven't been sleeping much, and today I really slept a long time.
So. Want some coffee?
Yeah. You're a nice guy.
His head really grew.
Tony, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Sometimes he just talks.
The thing about the Buddha having several idols all being so easily identified and so apparent, you know, I saw a lot of that the way I behaved at the party, but in relating it to hearing, I mean, it was just so obvious that she was deceived and that she was out chasing good and stubble.
And all you can do is say, Father, I into your hands I commit this soul. But stop a minute. See, hear this. You gotta see this. I don't care whether it's an idol of intelligence, or I should be this way, or I should be that way, or she should be that way, or ad nauseum. Every one of those should be's is an image. Now, if any of you have any should be's about appearance, I mean, just look at your grandmother. You're going to get old and ugly. If you have that as an idol, you're really dumb.
If you're lucky, you'll get old enough.
I mean, the appearance, the whole idea of appearance and swazunas or whatever, it's just, you know, none of us, you don't have, none of you would dare to stand up to that one or contend with that one, right?
Pretty dumb.
How about intelligence? You want to contend about it? You got intelligence idols? You know, then we go through all the ones about work ethic. You got work ethic idols? I need to work hard. What one?
It's like 2.5 years old, and I'm just thinking that's what that's basically all you talk about. Work ethic is doctors in hell.
That's good,
Jackie.
Did I really say that?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're going to gain worth by working hard. You know, just think about it. There are, this last fiscal year, there are some investment bankers that without hardly doing anything made one of them made $165 million. That was his salary. 1 year. Ross Perot, without doing hardly anything at all, is worth $4 or $5 billion. Okay. If you don't see the vanity of the work ethic, you know, let's talk about it a minute. I've told most of you, but in America, you're tricked. They don't teach you this in school. There's only one way of making money, true wealth, in this country. And that is to have the right to print your own money. There's only one way to have the right to print your own money. Well, there's two ways to get wealthy. One is to be born wealthy, have smart parents that knew this, and the other is for you to do it. The only way you can have the right to print your own money under a capitalistic system, under a free enterprise system, is have the right to issue stock. Because stock then, in your printing it, has the same weight as paper money. And you convince some investment banker in New York to make a market in that stock, and then that's how he made the $160 million, because he found four or five companies that he made a market in, he took a position in, he made $160 million in 1 year as his salary. But the idea of thinking that you're working or for a living or working for a raise is an obscenity. If you're in a communist system, the only way for true wealth is to be at the center of power. And those fundamentally are the only two systems. They're variations of two. But so don't tell me about your, you know, if you want to make money, I got to get up early and I got to work hard and I got to do this and I got to do that. And just look at the, you know, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They spin not, neither they sow. Your parents and our Calvinistic forefathers say, look at the squirrels. They gather nuts all summer. Well, yeah, look at the squirrels. The ones that give you that advice.
Gather nuts for me.
But I mean, can you see the stupidity of money? I mean, no, some of you can't, and you're saying you can't.
Well, sometimes I've heard this for like 13 years. And
more than that.
I can see the ridiculousness of it when you're talking about it. But there's something that I have yet to see about it. I just know there's a void there.
So you're still worshiping it.
I know that I don't like to get up real early, but I yet still fear. Right.
Let's talk about money. There's a good likelihood that Rick, little Ricky, the next fiscal year will make $500,000.
For doing stupid voices.
For doing nothing.
Can I grab your car? No, I was just thinking about this when I was in the bathroom. It's really funny. I started out, and you know this, but you got me the job, for $450 a month. And I did jocking. I ran tapes. I did the commercials. I did the news. I did everything. I worked my ass off 10, 12 hours a day and didn't make any money. And as I kept going, I ended up, when I'm my last job, I had a producer, I had a production guy who did the commercials, I had a news guy, I had a sports guy, I had two traffic people. I just showed up and made more than I ever made. I mean, I didn't do anything for it. I mean, there's nothing in the world that says effort equals money. You know, yeah.
The more money you made, the less you did. Yeah.
But see, some of you hear this, and your mind does a trick. And what your mind does, it then says, well, how do I get in on that? Well, you get in on that by not caring whether you're there or not.
Amen.
You understand? Because if not, you're worshiping, you're still worshiping money. This time you're going to steal it, though. I mean, if you're still in the position, well, how do I get in on that so that I can do nothing and make $500,000 a year? Then what your mind is doing in the spirit is you're stealing. You understand? God says, I want you to learn. I want you to see. I have learned by experiencing it to be content in whatsoever state I find myself. I have learned to be abased. And it didn't matter. I didn't die. I have learned to abound. And I didn't get all screwed up. Whatsoever state I find myself, therewith be content. But we have this thing that goes on in our heads. Hey, let me show you something. We secretly believe we're earning a living. Right? And so when you tithe, for instance, you think you're paying a tithe. I mean, you're giving a tithe. You're not giving a tithe, you're paying a debt. And until you realize that, then you think that you have earned what you have gotten. Well, if you worked 10 times as hard as you're working now, and by happenstance you were in Ethiopia, you'd be making 35 cents a day. But your mind tricks you by comparison into thinking that you're earning what you're getting. And so therefore, when somebody says that your only physical evidence in the world is tithing, that's the way you get rid of that as an idol, is to tithe. Because you don't give a tithe, you pay a tithe. Do you understand the difference?
Yeah, because it's not yours.
It's not yours. None of it is yours. The labor from your hands is a gift of God. You don't believe it? Oh, no, that's not true. I earn a living. Yeah, right. Listen. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy. And drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, let thy neck lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever you find to do, do it with your might, because it's all the same. Oh, Ezekiel 9. Ecclesiastes, I mean. 9. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You understand? You think, because of your mind is locked in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you are in a cause and effect relationship, that if you work harder, you will get more. But most of you have lived long enough to know that's a lie.
It's like the things I get trapped into, like my dad was always stealing from poverty or something. I don't know what his deal is, but it was always like the Scotsman way of life. And I mean, even now, I do the stupidest things, like, you know, we're living in a house that's bills paid, and yet I'm a fanatic still about turning off lights. And it's still bills paid. I mean, I'm not even paying for this stuff. I'm like, and I see it, and I think, God, this is crazy. But it's I mean, if this is something that I just did out of habit, who knows?
Yeah, well, okay, now, but I want you all to see, can you, is there any of you that secretly in your deepest heart of hearts believe you're earning a living? Or believe that you have to, that your work is what you're paid for?
Sometimes I do, but when you talk like this, I right at this moment, I
You are all His, and in your obedience, hearing under, it's His good pleasure to give you all things freely. That's why, you know, that's why this process, the way you stop worshiping money as an idol of wood, hand, stubble, is to understand tithing. Because you're seeing that it all is a gift from God, and you're just, oh, all He's asking for is 10% back. And the place of tithing is the place where you're fed. That's the definition of the system. That's why, that's how it evolves. It's just like a body. Anybody want to justify it? Is there anyone that doesn't see that the idol of money is marred? That's all I want you to see, is that that's marred. Are you still chasing after money? No, be honest.
Well, I'm in a different position now. It's like, because I feel like I'm chasing after money for somebody else.
No, you're not. You're chasing after money for yours.
Okay.
You mean like supporting Donna, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like that.
Well, on the other hand, sometimes I go on trips where I feel guilty.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing what I
want to
do, and it's great.
Yeah, that's what she wants to do.
I mean, I know it's stupid, and Matt yells at me every time I do it.
So it's just a form of protecting myself.
No, I don't care if you have it or not. Like I've got it. I made a deal with God about Tyra. Okay, I said, okay, God, we'll get married when there's enough income whereby she doesn't have to work. Well, I can do that. It was on me, so I did it. Shut up.
Really?
Well, maybe dumb. But but the point is that whatever it is, you have to speak it. Don't have it internally and not say it. That's the thing that will, you know. But I don't want you to worship money. That's what I'm, that's all I'm trying to get to.
Well, I guess my whole thing, just trying to have enough money to cover the bills.
That's worshiping?
Just letting it go, yeah. And saying that it'll be taken care of.
That's me too. I think it's,
see, the deal
I'm
is,
okay if I just do that.
As far as I've taken it out is barely having enough money to cover the bills, but it's occurred to me just now that if I didn't cover the bills, for some reason that's supposed to be some big evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just occurred to me that, okay, so you did that. What would happen?
Then you die.
I mean, you know. So what? I mean, it's still there's some kind of imaginary line of that we want to keep ourselves above, which really doesn't exist.
Can any of you pull yourselves totally out of time for a minute? Just try. Okay. You were born into a... Jesus was born in the promise, right? He was born in Israel. And then immediately fled to Egypt because he couldn't have existed in Israel at that time. Okay. All of you were born in the New Jerusalem. That's your true identity. Now, in order for the purposes of God, you had to be shed abroad in Egypt. So you've lived in the world up till now. And in that world, there's systems of governments. There's systems of order, of power. You didn't decide to establish them. They all exist for the purposes of God. They're not a... I'm going to show you something. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power or authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You understand? Now, what are some of the authorities? What are some of the principles of the world that we've been under? Let me go on. For rulers or authorities are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In other words, there's no good work, i.e. the revelation of the seed of Christ within you, that is afraid of authority of any kind. I don't care if it's Hitler. I don't care if it's the IRS examination. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. The evil being what? They're only a terror to your self-seeking. You got it? Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, i.e. resisting the authority in the context, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tax or tribute also. Now, for they are God's ministers. Now, what about debt? I mean, that's what... You're in debt. Do you understand that there's no second cause? That nothing in your life has ever had a second cause. It's only ever and always had a first cause. I mean, I don't care, like Harry. Harry came into the group, he's $500,000 in debt. Now owes some $56,000 to the Internal Revenue Service that can't be protected against him if he go, by bankruptcy. You know, what's his response to it? What's your response to debt? Debt is just the flip side of the coin of worshiping money, but what's your response to it? Huh?
It's not mine. Mine is cut back on expenses.
Make more money. Work harder. Make more money. Get a plan. Get a budget. All those things are right. But they're all principles of the world. Now, the only time you're not subject to them is when you're out, when you've been delivered out. Am I communicating?
Yeah, just get delivered out.
If you're in the world, the definition of being in the world is that you're giving breath, you're worshiping money, you're doing all those things. You're going to be in that position. God's going to cause all of that stuff to take place. They are the tutors and governors to bring you fully unto Christ. I'm not communicating. It doesn't mean they're still not all of the money and the things attended to the money are still an idol. You worship that idol, and what will happen? The idol will have to save you.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to go that far. All you need to do is to see that idol has never saved anyone. It's been marred.
Yeah.
when it's marred, then you will see the futility of worshiping it. You will look only at God, and what will happen? Then it's Him that will save you, and it's only after you're saved can you believe. Am I communicating that?
Yes.
In every area. You think that you believe in order to get saved. And so therefore you never test anything. We are not like the Gnostics. The Gnostics are the ones that want to just have it in their mind. They want belief to be in the mind. Just like the modern religion. We say that you must experience what you know. You can't experience it until you're delivered or saved. When you're delivered from it or saved from it, then you believe. But you have to be delivered from that idolatry also. I can preach to you till hell freezes over about the vanity of idols. 5 minutes later, you're out chasing them. Why? Because you haven't tested it. Either by empathy or by experience. What happens then? Then your fear toward God is taught by the precepts of men. That didn't work. Now the problem with having idols like, you know, money, that's a pretty easy one. But if you have an idol like appearance and all the, you know, my biggie was intelligence. I had to get in such pain that I couldn't complete a sentence in my mind. You want to see your intelligence idol get destroyed? I could not even complete a sentence. I was in so much pain. I never had to worry about appearance as an idol. Shut up.
I'm going to tell everybody how much pain that you were in, because I saw you one time in a lot of pain. And you were in so much pain that you were saying, you were thinking that God was punishing you for smoking. And, you know, that's a lot of pain for you.
Delirium.
Yeah, that's delirious.
I don't feel like there's a closure been made here. There's something that
about me.
Or anything. It's like everything's sort of up and the waters are stirred and there's somebody hiding.
One of the things you said about not testing it is what's going on in my head while you're talking about it. That's like you're talking to me or you're saying. I like to test it, or empathize it, or whatever is necessary to. So I was thinking, my religious way of thinking is, well, I'm not giving bread to money, but I don't think that's right. I think there's still...
Let's talk about this. Not giving breath to money doesn't mean you have to be poor.
Amen.
What was your conclusion?
That was stupid. You didn't have to...
I told Daryl there's no righteousness in poverty, because I was feeling all guilty that we had money and a house and all this kind of stuff.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I know. I already feel that's ridiculous.
You should feel guilty about that, though.
No, that's...
It was driven... It was like... She's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, Henrietta.
There's no... Right. Okay. There's absolutely no righteousness in being poor.
So what I saw was when, you know, as a young... I was basically a kid in my head when I came here, and I saw you living on a little bit a month, so I thought, well, that's what it means to test it, so I have to do that to believe, to be able to believe, but I've never done that. I've never lived on it.
Both of them are lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being rich is just as much of a lie.
Yeah.
And it really is. It doesn't mean anything.
Again, when are you ever going to get down to the point where all you have to do is say, like a little child, God, Father, Daddy, I want this. And he said, no, you can't have it. Then you say, I want it anyway. And no, you can't have it. I want to show you something. He fakes you out by
so
giving you
like
something else
a
to
kid
do.
In a toy store. This, no, this, no.
It's a car.
It's a surprise.
Wow, a pony.
See, you know what? You know, God really hates religion. You know how you can tell God hates religion? Because he said, if you have the faith, as the way you test whether somebody's got any, knows what they're talking about, and you tell them to move the mountain. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done for you. Now, everybody tries to think that's a way, and you know, when you hear about that, we say, okay, let's see how we can get that much faith. God's, the way Jesus snuck that in the scriptures to be the test to show you how stupid your religion is. You got faith, cast the mountain into the sea.
He was being kind of sarcastic.
Because as long as you think faith is a commodity, then go ahead and play that game.
It's like magic.
You understand? But by the same token, he gave us another thing. It's kind of neat. So he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And shall say, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, give me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall not answer and say, get out of here, trouble me not. The door is shut, my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and quit bugging me. That's targeting. That's targeting.
Do you realize?
Do you know what time it is?
You kids, get out of my yard.
I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth.
What's
brashness. Now the reason that you have not is because you ask not. You don't ask because you think you have to earn it. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Get rid of the singular lie that you have to earn. Use a little importunity with God. He's not going to answer it because you're his friend, even though by definition, if he has told you all things, then you're no longer servants but friends. But because he wants you to stop bugging him, he'll give it to you. Now, most of you are afraid to push it to that limit. You know why? Because you secretly don't believe in God. You better find out now. Man, if you want $1 million, ask for it. The only thing that I'll bug you about is if you think you have to go earn it. That's the way you get rid of money as an idol. What?
This reminds me of we pick up Sarah at night, and every night, all the way home, it's I'm hungry, I want a snack, and we know you already ate, and we go through this thing, and we get home, she always gets a snack. And so what we started doing is as soon as she gets in the car, she says, as soon as we get home, you can have a snack. Like we don't have to listen to it. We don't have to give in.
But please, please, the way you get rid of idolatry, of the money, the wood idol, is by seeing its end. It's God's good pleasure to cause you to see that. He'll move heaven and earth to cause you to get rid of that idol. Use importunity. Do you want something? Ask for it. But please, I don't want you to worship that idol in its negation either. I mean, there's no merit in poverty. That's stupid. There's no merit in wealth either. That's just as stupid. The only merit is in the only purpose that we're here. But He made you like you are. He'll give you the desire of your heart. Trust not in your own arm of understanding. That's the only thing that gets you in trouble, is when you do it, you know, I'm going to...
So you can go home and make a wish list?
I don't care what you do.
What the hell?
I mean, do it if that's what you want. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you all things freely. Don't worry about it. If you have a desire for it, ask for it. You have not because you ask not. Ask with importunity, insistence. Bug him at 3 a.m. It's not. You're not supposed to be. This isn't a doctrine of martyrdom. Oh, I shouldn't be this way. Oh, I should do this. Oh, poor me. It's a doctrine of joy. I don't feel like talking anymore.